are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by SID Media. So in Christian theology and philosophy, desire can be defined as the human inclination or longing for something. It is a fundamental aspect of human nature and can encompass a wide range of desires, including physical, emotional, and spiritual desires. So we're going to be learning more about desires with my pastor here, who's going to be through with us throughout the whole week, so we can learn what desires are and, in fact, some of them, how we can be able to avoid some of them. We are joined on the line by Pastor Joseph Farah. Pastor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? And hope all is well and your weekend was okay.
Yes, Pastor, all was well. The weekend was lovely from our side as well.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Indeed. Pastor, before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Okay, shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we are grateful once again for the privilege of prayer, and that as we begin to learn from your scriptures, may your spirit guide us in everything that we are going to do. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, how do we define desire? What is a desire?
You know, desires have been defined differently by different people. And so I would like to give a number of definitions from different sources. So may I begin from the academic description? They have given desires to be in about three categories, where they put them to be falling under their psychological needs, where desire falls, and also there are some emotional needs and also physical needs. Mm-hmm. So desires, the desires come differently depending on the category that you are dealing with. So when you are dealing with, let's say, psychological needs, this is where you have the desire for love, you know, emotional fulfillment, and things like that. And then when you are talking about the issues of physical needs, this is where people desire, you know, shelter. They desire good accommodation. They desire good clothing, so that all those needs can be met. Mm. So that's how people look at desires from a different point of view.
Mm. Can desire, Pastor, be a good thing or a bad thing, or is it both?
Yes, it is. Actually, since we are saying desire, it's a strong feeling of wanting or wishing for something to happen or to possess something. So it can be both, mm-hmm. you know, positive. It can also be negative.
Mm.
Because when you, for instance, who doesn't want to have a decent accommodation?
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't want to be loved? Who doesn't want to be happy? Who doesn't want to connect to some people? So when you are looking at that, you are looking at it from the good side of desire, because it's desire that will motivate you to work hard. It will push you. You know, we wake up almost every day driving long distances to our places of work. All this is driven by the desire to live as comfortable as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But then this same desire can be a source of negative energy, depending on what you're looking at. Let's take, for instance, if we were to give an example of maybe politicians, their desire for power, you know, and we can look at Africa as a
Hello, Pastor.
A lot of corruption, you know, a lot of abuse of power, and all this is as a result of people desiring, you know, to be in power, to be recognized, but yet they can't even deliver.
Mm.
So that now becomes a wrong, a negative aspect of desire.
Mm-hmm. Do we see desire anywhere in scripture, Mpundis, or we can refer to that story of David? Or do we have, you know, examples of desire in scripture that we can refer to?
Of course, there are quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can even begin from, let me access my Bible here.
Mm-hmm.
We can read, I don't know if your Bible is nearby.
Yes, Pastor.
You can help me read Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25. And yeah, so we can look at Deuteronomy 7, 25. Then I will look at Job 20:20.
Okay, Deuteronomy 7, verse 25.
Yes.
Okay, the images of their gods. Okay, wait. The images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. Do not covet the silver and gold on them. Do not take it for yourselves, or you will be ensnared by it, for it is detestable to the Lord your God.
Exactly. So this is an example,
mm-hmm,
of what happened when people desired, they desired wrong things.
Mm.
They desired images of the gods and things like that. And this is a contradiction to the commandments, which says, I think the third commandment, which says you shall not have images both in heaven and on earth. But the people desired to have those things.
Mm.
And again, when you read Job 20:20, as I'm reading Job 20:20, you can look for Proverbs 21:20. We see what the scriptures could be saying about the issues of desire.
So we're Job 20:20. Job, okay.
Okay, I'll take Job 20:20. You look for Proverbs 21, verse 20,
okay,
which says, Job is saying, surely he shall not feel quietness. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Some people are calling the pastor. Surely he shall not feel quietness in his belly. He shall not save of that which he desired. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So we have a number of scriptures. You know, when someone is in need of something, when somebody desires, they will do probably whatever they can,
mm-hmm,
in order to, you know, I don't know what you have found on Hebrews chapter 21, verse 20.
Oh, Hebrews, Pastor, me, I went to Proverbs.
Oh, you are right.
Proverbs, right?
Yes.
21, verse 20.
20.
Okay. In the house of the wise are stores of choice, food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has.
So that one, it's a counsel actually that is given to say, actually, a foolish person will not do the right thing.
Mm.
You know, in the house of the righteous man. And again, Proverbs continues to say, when you have been invited to eat on the king's table, consider your appetite. Put your fork on your your eyes would desire to eat everything that is on the table, but some things may not be good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And this concept, see it in the life of Daniel and his colleagues. He purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the foods that have been saved by the king.
Mm.
So there you find the desire to please God in Daniel was more than his desire to please the body. Because when you look at the table that has been prepared for the king,
mm-hmm,
it's not portable. It's the foods that have passed through the laboratories.
Okay.
They have tested the foods, and if it is the chefs who have prepared the foods, these are not simple people. These are people who know how to mix the greens and the onions, the garlics and the spices, whereby even when you smell the aroma of the food, the whole body is saying, yes, let's go for it.
Mm.
But your mind is saying no. So you are in conflict with yourself. So it was not a simple decision that Daniel had to make to resist the meals that were prepared, and instead they resolved to just go on vegetables and that they may not defile themselves. So this is the extent you can see how desire can be when somebody is motivated to do. They can go to the ends of their limits just to stay pure. Like, who can cite another example of Joseph? When we are reading the scriptures, we may think the desire from Potiphar's wife, it was not a one-day thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that she planned, she longed for, she desired, you know. Every time, it's like every time this young man passed nearby, she just kept getting confused. And, you know, for a woman to reach at a point whereby she gets physical.
Okay.
It means the desires, the desires were deep seated, and at the day. So this is a typical example where you have two extreme examples: Mrs. Potiphar and Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Potiphar is using desire in the negative sense,
okay,
and then Daniel is using desire in the positive sense because his motivation to be pure and not to defile himself. Because, I mean, Daniel had all the reasons to be mad at God.
Mm.
I mean, he is in a foreign land.
Mm.
And by the way, the thinking of those guys, they thought that God had remained in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew that they were on their own. And whatever action they would take, probably God was not going to know because he was in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the Hebrews at this time, their thinking was a little bit erratic in terms of the operations of God. To them, God was staying in Jerusalem. He remained in Jerusalem. And they were, in their thinking, say, how can he allow us to come in this land where we are supposed to eat wrong things? But he purposed that he was still going to stand tall. He was still going to be faithful to God, who seems to have disappointed them in that moment. But still, he was determined, he desired, that he will not be at variance with God, even if he had all the reasons to be mad at God.
My desire, Mfundisi, is to eat that chicken that is making noise in the background.
It's making noise, I tell you. It wants to make its presence known that it's around.
Yeah. So when we're looking at Jesus, Pastor, did he ever have any desires?
Yes, he had desires.
Mm.
And I think the greatest desire we see that is embedded in Christ, it is to fulfill the will of the Father. You know, we see it in the, because you see emotions motivate us to do certain things. Because if you know our bodies are wired with those hormones, the chemicals that are released for us to stand and fight or to run away.
Mm.
You know, so with him, I like the readings that is given in Hebrews chapter 12.
Mm.
You know, I think this is where we can see how serious Jesus was. And even when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, I am tired. This thing is heavy.
Mm.
And if it is possible, please allow it to pass over. But not as I will.
Mm.
Because if I will, I would, you know, in his human state, he could have willed the easy way out.
Mm.
Humanly speaking, we desire easier things.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that is taxing, we don't want that.
Mm.
Because it will be an inconvenience. So
mm-hmm.
if there's anything that is easy, I would rather go for that than anything that complicates my life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Hebrews 12, verse 2, it has these words that puts our lesson in perspective. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Yes.
Now, this is where my interest is. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such great contradiction of sinners against himself. So, you know, everything was at play when he looks at the possibility of you and me being saved. He says, let the shame be, you know. Let me be embarrassed. Let me walk naked. Let me be beaten. Let me be smitten. Let me be bruised. So that that one person can be saved. So that is one example we can see the driving force, the desire deeply seated in Christ to say, whatever it may be, Lord, even if this cup is bitter, it's okay. Let me drink it.
Pastor, how then do we differentiate between desire and greed? Because sometimes you find that you are thinking you're desiring something. Can't you know it's greed because it's too much now. Is there a difference between those two, and how do we differentiate them?
So the difference lies in the intent. The difference lies in the intent. Because both of these are strong, emotions. You know, they are strong emotions, and except the other one is you know, it is negative. Okay, so for the sake of putting things in perspective, what is greed? Oxford Language Dictionary says that greed, this is an intense and selfish desire for something, especially wealth, especially power, or even food. Can you imagine? Even food. So this is where now we have examples like Esau and Jacob. You know, Esau, he desires to sell his birthright. He sees it not necessary because he wants to satisfy the immediate desires. You know, he didn't see it coming to say one day it will result into a serious conflict. But then he just wants to satisfy the intense desires in the present. And the same thing comes back to the story of Cain and Abel. An instruction, but he desires to do what he thinks is right.
Yes.
But what is right is not right. You know? Yeah. So greed, the difference is that you are looking at, yes, you can desire something, but as long as it is, the intention is not right. And that is why the scriptures are even plain to say, our judgment will actually not surely be based on the actions that we have performed, but the intention of the action. You know, sometimes you can do a good act, but the intention of the act is not noble. Yeah, you know, this time around, I think it is even common. If I find you have a broken leg, I will be removing some monies from my pocket with a selfie.
Okay.
And then that act of kindness, I will post it on social media. It will be on Facebook, it will be on TikTok, it will be everywhere. So what really is the motivation there? You know, you look at politics as an example. When do they see people are suffering? Is it when there are elections, or all the time there are people who always need their handouts? But how can you only need to give handouts when there's a camera? What is the intention? So this is where now greed comes into play. You know, your motives are not okay. And so this is where now we are able to differentiate. You can have a desire to do something good, which is noble, you know. And then when your intentions are motivated by greed, to say, if I do this, then it will make me become popular And if there's even some elections that are coming, both in the church or outside, you see people, even the preaching changes. It is about leadership. And you know, the tricky part of the human mind is whatever you are saying, you who is saying it, you tend to suggest in the minds of the people that you could be able to offer different solutions to the current administrations and what they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
But any of the operations of your colleagues, if you saw anything wrong, you didn't indicate anything.
Okay.
You didn't sit down, you didn't pray. You know, like we see in the nominating committees, you float a name. That is when they're going to come to say, this brother, we saw him drinking. I think he is not fit. And then I asked some time back when I was operating somewhere where this admin elder, when the first reading was given, he was arrested the following year. And then a certain younger man was elevated to become the admin elder.
Mm.
And prior to that, they were working in the same administration. Then, you know, we always say that, okay, any observations, reactions, you can see the nominating committee. And so this elderly man of God came and said, Pastor, I think we are making a mistake. We are going to destroy the church if we put this person in place. I became interested. What is the reason?
Mm.
And he says, this guy, we just didn't inform you. He has a weakness of drinking.
Okay.
Then I said, okay, fine. You were the admin elder.
Mm.
You didn't report this thing to me, and you're only telling me now. What did you do to help the brother?
Yes.
You know? How did you resolve? Because you have worked with this young man for 2 years.
Mm.
And in these years, you didn't hint that you are having this challenge. Now that he is becoming the head elder, that is when you are concerned about his spirituality. What was wrong in the past 2 years? So when I called the two together, the young man admitted to say he had a problem 10 years ago.
Hmm.
Yeah, the problem was there 10 years ago,
yeah.
But not in the 10 years. And so somebody will be motivated by greed for power.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to step down.
Yeah.
He wants to continue. So he will incriminate the innocent person who had a weakness. And he is reporting as though the weakness is imminent, like it's happening right now. So this is how probably we could introduce today's lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is deeper as we will explore in the course of the week.
Yeah.
So we are looking at the depth, you know, of how greediness can be so devastating to the family, to the church, to the nation, at whatever level. So the intentions are the yardstick for me. Don't be fooled by an act that somebody has given. Yeah, anybody can do it. But what is the motivation of that act?
Yeah, ne, Mfundisi, you have spoken there, because most of us, we do act, and sometimes we have to question ourselves, is this the right thing or not? But as you have said, that this is the beautiful way of introducing the topic that we're going to be doing the whole week in terms of desire. So, Pastor, I'm going to ask that. Can you please pray? I pray for all of us that we may be able to handle our desires and control them so that they don't control us.
Sure. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are grateful for the special revelation. We are not better than anyone else, because at some point we are not honest with ourselves in how we deal with others, in how we deal with you. My prayer is that may you align our desires to your will, that our desires may be noble, that we shall not pull down people on account of our greed for power, on account of our greediness for favors, that we will exhort one another in brotherly love, that we will endeavor to uplift those who are fallen, those whose spirits have been quenched and they want to give up on you, that you will help us, teach us, you know, to love others purely and squarely, to appreciate those who are more talented than us, those who are more wealthier than we are,
those who are more brainy than we are, let us be honest and appreciate them and hold them in high esteem because you have gifted them that way. And also help us to appreciate our status quo, appreciate our level of operation, appreciate our status in our families, that wherever you have placed us, it is the right place for us to be because that is where your will in desires us to be. Our prayer that as we engage each other this week, that we will be honest enough to recognize our weakness and pray for forgiveness where we have acted in bad faith. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor Farah, thank you so much for joining us. Till we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.